Hello and welcome to True Romance. My name is Carolina Barlow. What's your name?
My name's actually Devin, and my last name is actually Leary.
Oh, okay, great. Devin, so good to see you.
You too.
I have been thinking, and I was just telling Devin about this, that as I'm sure most of you are aware, there is an election coming up. So I've been volunteering for some down ballot campaigns. And I will just say that some of them are for really hot guys.
Yeah.
And I know their policies and that makes them hotter. And I know how this makes me sound like I'm, you know, going to lose women the right to vote because I sound so flimsy and ridiculous. But I do spend a lot of time thinking about them and sort of like, you know, reading Tiger Beat magazine, when I'm reading these policies and I'm writing postcards to potential voters, you just start feeling close to these people. So Jamal Bowman, Mike Siegel, Jamie Harrison, I just really feel like I could be somewhat of a senator's wife.
Okay.
Or congressman's wife.
Okay.
Even Ed Markey. Ed Markey, there's something there. There's something
I agree
to
there's
that
something
old
there.
Fisherman look.
His tweets are hot. He'll just say like Green New Deal period. And I'm like, okay, hard to get. Hard to get.
That's all you're going to give me and you've left me wanting more.
Yeah.
I wonder what I would be like as a senator's wife. I hear that like a bunch of senator's wives, it's sort of a social circle. And I feel like I'd be the smelly girl in class. Like, everyone would be in hosiery and skirt suits, and I would come in with, like, a floral dress and no bra and my Birkenstocks.
Wait, with Markey, though? I think it's changing.
Oh, yeah.
I think
with Markey, that's, like, a North Face wife. She's, like, in a North Face vest and, like, a turtleneck.
Yeah.
Some indigo jewelry. She's that kind of mom.
Like, turquoise, yeah. And she's like, I got this turquoise sterling silver ring at the book fair. You know what I mean? When I read the book, The Psychopath Test, by John Ronson, highly recommend. They talked about also politicians often are like narcissists or sociopaths. That rung true. I think that has changed after Trump because, like, as a result of his disgustingly fascist, harmful dictatorship that he has tried to take over America, all of these people who are actually public servants, I feel like these are all people like Ed Markey, all these people are people who wouldn't necessarily want to go into public office because they don't want like the attention, but they just feel like they have to. So,
you know, the thing is that like I've dated a lot of people in the creative field. Like the people I was initially attracted to were musicians in high school. My two best friends, and I was in love with them both, were both musicians and no bigs. And they actually did quite well for themselves.
They actually joined O-Town.
Ashley Parker Angel. If you're listening, I think that politicians can have the same thing where they love attention, even the very, you know, the well-intended ones. Mm-hmm. And they should. They're stars. They're supposed to be charismatic. All of those things work together. So I think a campaign manager might be a safe bet for me. I used to think it was so unattractive to be too earnest, to be too interested in politics. I sort of played that part of myself down because I didn't want to be a killjoy. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be above it. And the past 5 years have really changed my perspective on that. And since I've been single, I'm even more like, I don't care how I look anymore. Like, I don't need to be cool. I'm very concerned on what's going on right now. Yeah, I've just been putting a lot of my romantic energy there.
I want to say shout out to Demi Lovato for her new song, Demi in Chief. I was about to say her new song, Demi in Chief, which actually would be a great title for a future
Demi
song.
Demi in Chief is actually, I'm so sorry, it might have been the title that should it was the title that should have been
it might have been the title that should have been, but instead she released a song called Commander in Chief, basically calling out Trump, shitting on him, being like, how do you sleep at night, fuck you, basically we'll stay in the streets while you're in power. It's an amazing song, and I love that she's going into the historical framework of the Dixie Chicks, of Pink exclamation point for an eye.
Yes. I love Demi's message. don't necessarily love the song itself. It's not as catchy. It's not a cool for the summer for me, but I love that she's doing it. Everyone should be stepping into the public sphere right now, and I judge anyone who's not taking a stand. Demi was posting comments that people had written. One of them was great because it was kind of just so innocuous, but this girl was like, I'm ashamed to be a love addict right now. That being said, I will continue to listen to your music because it's helped me so much. We have to talk quickly about Offset and Cardi B. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this relationship has been a roller coaster from the start.
Especially for me, because I once, when I was on a date with a random person, saw Offset ride a bike down the street in the West Village.
He is so amazing and so talented.
But he's a piece of shit.
Migos.
Because he
okay,
cheats on
he,
her.
He cheats on Cardi a lot. But Cardi is open about how, like, there's some people, and I identify with this, that just she can't let go of. Like, she did some meme about how you'll be dating a guy who will push you off a roof and you'll get in a wheelchair and wheel back to him to get back at him. It's like, I don't think the relationship is abusive whatsoever. I think he really loves her. But yes, he cheats on her a lot. He's not being... Devin's giving me a glare.
I don't comprehend loving someone and cheating on them, so...
I don't comprehend it either, but I do think it happens.
I'll say it once and I'll say it again. I don't like the song We Built Sand Castles That Washed Away by Beyonce with Jay-Z. I don't agree with that. I love the song Hold Up. I love every other song on Lemonade.
Sorry is, I think, my favorite.
Sorry is my fave. Hold Up's my fave. The one with Jack White is my fave that I forget. But when it gets to Sand Castles... I'm out.
But I have to say, Cardi has the best responses for when her and Offset inevitably always get back together. I think they almost split up, I want to say like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they went on vacation together and some outlet asked her, why did you guys go on vacation together? I thought you were broken up. And she responded with, I needed to have sex.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone who doesn't identify with that. And they look like they have so much fun together. And then recently, she filed for divorce in September, stating that the pair's marriage was irretrievably broken and that there are no prospects for reconciliation. And then literally a month later on an Instagram Live, she explained why she's back with her ex. And she said, it's hard not to talk to your best friend. It's really hard not to talk to your best friend. And it's really hard to have no dick.
Yeah.
And I completely sympathize and I understand.
I do too. I can't say I don't. I can't say I don't. Let's go to some listener questions.
Let's start with this first one. Roberta writes, I do need advice from you both. I'm 22 and live with my boyfriend of 3 years, and I'm currently 2 semesters shy of graduating with my degree. I relate completely to when you guys spoke about wanting your boyfriend to cheat on you to make it easier for you to end the relationship. We get along so well, and of course I do love him, but I just feel that he may be holding me back in the direction I'm headed in life. The advice I need is, how do I break up with someone I live with? My usual relationships have ended with them cheating, so I've never been through a breakup like this, and it sucks having to be the person ruining their life for a bit. A true romance fan, Roberta.
I first of all want to say thank you so much to this listener for writing in during such a difficult time. And I think it's really exciting that you're so young and it sounds like your future is really progressing and
right.
You're about to graduate with a degree.
You're 22.
And working really hard. Yeah, exactly. That's amazing.
Less legally a baby.
I am a college dropout, so you're already doing better than me. But yeah, I think it's definitely harder to leave. I mean, I don't know if it's harder, but it's a specific kind of challenging to leave when there's not a blatant reason to make an exit. It's hard to make the decision to do that because it's not like, okay, you fucking did this shit, now I'm out. And I think the plus side of that is there's potential to leave on a more loving and kind note and just be honest and move forward. Not that that has ever happened for me, because it has not. But I think what I was going to say is being honest in that way always leads to the right result. Like, whatever happens from that is what's supposed to happen because you're being honest. If you're being dishonest by staying with someone, it's never going to work, because it just creates confusion. Like, there's always this underlying confusion in my experience.
Can you speak a little bit to the fact, I don't know how you felt about this, Devin, but when you're breaking up with someone that you still care about, that they haven't done anything to harm you, that you love, there's a lot of concern, I feel like, for that person, as if, you know, you said in your email that you were going to ruin their life.
Right.
Or something to that effect. You are not going to ruin their life. And you have to have faith in them.
Right.
That they can take care of themselves and that they also deserve to be with someone who loves them completely.
Right.
And I have had it both ways. I've had guys freak out and me worry. And then I worry that they'll ruin their life. They'll hurt themselves, God forbid. They'll go crazy. And I've had guys who are like, thanks so much. I totally understand. And even that hurts because you're like, wait, I thought you were going to be like devastated.
Right.
But either way, I think it's a sign of respect to trust someone that they'll have a good reaction. And Devin's, I do think that you should have, though, a logistical plan. So I've actually never broken up with someone I've lived with. I don't think I've ever even officially lived with a guy. I've only like stayed at their place a bunch. But I do think it's important to not just break up without having an exit plan. So that means, what is the next 2 weeks look like for you?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to have like a down, you know, a deposit on a house, but you need to know how you guys are going to, as Gwyneth Paltrow says, consciously uncouple. What's the next month going to look like for him? What are bills going to look like for the next 2 weeks? But it's completely doable. It's painful. And the only way out is through.
The best way to go about it, as Carolina said, is to just be like as light and polite as possible. This is the plan. This is what we're going to do. I have a U-Haul coming, or I'm staying here because I can't afford to move somewhere else. So is there somewhere else you can go? Let's talk about it in a calm manner, if possible. It's not always possible. Sometimes it's fucking messy and horrible.
And congrats. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but this is an exciting time and you're choosing yourself and it's brave. When I read your email, I thought, oh, this person's on an exciting track in life. They're choosing themselves. They're excited for their future.
Yeah.
They're not going to curb it for the ease of a relationship. And so I'm very excited for you, Roberta. Our next letter is from Eloise. She's writing from the Plaza Hotel. Just kidding. Eloise writes, hi, love the pod. I was wondering if you could talk about the specific heartbreak that comes with timing not being right. I met and fell in love with someone during the pandemic, which is wild, but we broke up a month ago due to timing. He's not over his ex. Kill me. Curious if either of you have had any experience with that, because I'm in it, man, and it's tough. So right now I'm going to go to one of my favorite writers. You may know her. Her name is Taylor Swift. She recently released an album called Folklore, and the first song on it is called The One. It's extremely painful, and it actually ruined a day for me where I just was on and off crying because of it. But there's one line that I love so much, and it starts with going, persist and resist the temptation to ask you, if one thing had been different, would everything be different today? So I felt this with every breakup. My college breakup, I kept on thinking, oh my God, if I had unlimited money, we would have been able to see each other more often because we were long distance and I could have bought an apartment. We could have lived together and settled down faster. I've had a lot of like fantasies about that. Like, what if I was able to buy a house and settle down with this person? And you know, what if I hadn't had this health crisis and I had been more available and free-spirited instead of constantly worrying about my health all the time? And so, yeah, I've had so many moments of that. And what I've really had to look at is, first of all, things come up. Nothing is smooth sailing. So if it wasn't this, it would have been that. Something would have come up to show that we weren't supposed to weather the storms of life together. Second of all, I have to respect reality. So I can think about what could have been, what should have been, what was supposed to look like, but that's just not what reality has given me. So I really have to just stay in the present moment, because I can literally get upset and think, oh my God, I should have done this. I shouldn't have been on my phone so much. Da-da-da-da. If one thing had been different, could everything have been different? And it's like, maybe, but that's just not the case. I also want to say that I really like this guy, and that sounds weird, but I have been gaslit before when I was really young by guys pretending they were over ex-girlfriends that they weren't over. And it was really painful to go through that. And I would have appreciated so much if a guy had been like, no, I'm not over this girl. It would have been extremely painful. And I hear that in your email. But honesty, like we talked about, is so much better than dishonesty, no matter what the consequences.
Right.
And it gives room, you know, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, they broke up when they first started dating. And Kristen Bell, they obviously got back together, married, had kids, etc. But Kristen Bell talks about how she really respected him for being honest with her and saying, I'm not ready to date right now. I can't be in this relationship right now. And if you lead with that kindness, if you respect the distance, who knows what the future holds for the two of you. But I think that I'm glad that it sounds like he was very courteous.
I totally agree with what Carolina said, that there's always something. And then when you're in the right relationship at the right time, like someone was asking me about my current relationship, like what was different that makes it such a happy relationship. And I was trying to explain it that like the difference is the underlying thing is that we just want to support each other and we're just so happy to be together. Whereas in past relationships, I felt like the underlying thing was always, but there's this thing, like, how are we going to get past that? Or there's this looming thing I'm suspicious about, or there's like, we're in different places. Like there's this thing. So it's like, we're trying to be happy, but there's this thing. Whereas now I feel like we're so happy. So if there's a thing, we'll deal with it. And yeah, this person was just being honest that they're at the place right now that this thing is preventing them from being connected to other people. And that's so hard. Like it doesn't make it any less difficult to get through. And I think like it's one of those things where it's like you just have to take care of yourself. Like it's just going to be hard. You just have to like take care of yourself, watch shitty TV, eat shitty food, do whatever you do to like make yourself feel better and distract from it, because it's just shitty and like it will, you know, be the right thing in the long run. But if I may quote another Taylor Swift song.
You may.
You were driving in a getaway car. We were flying, but we'd never get far. And my dog chimed in there for that one.
Your dog like knows the rest of the lyrics.
My dog is barking because my singing is so bad.
We have to take a commercial break. And then when we get back, we are going to have the best guest talk about an Oscar winning film with us. Please stay tuned. I want you.
Welcome back to True Romance.
Our guest on the pod today was named one to watch in 2019 by People Magazine. Ever heard of it? And one of 11 Asian American comics who need to be on your 2020 radar by Entertainment Weekly. She currently stars on Freeform's critically acclaimed series Good Trouble, and she just joined the cast of Tiger's Apprentice opposite Sandra Oh and Henry Golding. Please welcome to True Romance, Sherry Cola.
Can you believe all that is not made up?
It's actually crazy.
Sandra Oh is one of my top three favorite actresses of all time.
Christina Yang, to me, forever.
First visual. Of all.
Vision board.
If she ends up to be an asshole, just don't tell us because I don't want
to hear it. Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way.
That's true.
Pure of a shining star. And this is an animated film, by the way. So I hope I actually do get to meet her before the red carpet in 2023. Right. We'll see. You know, hopefully she and I can catch some charcuterie when the pandemic's over. But we'll see.
I can't wait to hear about the sexual tension between you and Henry Golding.
Listen, he's a married man, okay? We do follow each other on Instagram.
Wow.
So you're already close. You're already closer than Will ever be.
Essentially, that's sexual tension of 2020, of the millennium. That is
as far as sexual tension goes right now.
Follow on Instagram. That is basically third base. No, stop it. He's married. It's all platonic.
Henry,
I'm being enabled and instigated here.
We're bullying her. We're peer pressuring her. She's
involved.
A victim.
Sherry, how is your core been? How are you staying sane right now?
I have been snorting lines of emergency and just like IV bags shooting it straight up. Just in case. But it's all placebo effect. I know that much. I've just been, you know, putting this inside my vagina like a douche.
Mm-hmm. You've been douching with just to really vitamin
get it
C.
Straight into the just to get straight.
That
into
could be
the
a good veins, tactic, you know? Because then you could end up with an infection that requires antibiotics, and antibiotics are always good for immunity.
Some gut health. I've been boofing emergency, and I've been doing that thing.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Wait, I can't believe neither of you know what boofing is. Okay, so.
Oh, God, I'm scared. I'm scared.
There is boofing. A phenomenon of girls getting wasted by boofing NyQuil. So what that looks like, let's say if you look it up online, 18-year-old girls getting into a handstand position and their friends pouring NyQuil down their ass. Because if you like put anything in your internal system, you get more like fucked up.
It's than, like the vodka tampons.
Exactly. Mm. Thank you, Devin, for it. Bringing up an old tradition.
Listen, women are just so innovative. And we know this.
I know.
We know this. The inventors of just everything. And my concern, though, is the drowsiness.
Right. You just immediately pass the fuck out.
That's one of my concerns. Yeah.
That's the number one concern.
That's in the top 12 of concerns, I think.
Speaking of boofing, Sherry, are you dating or romancing in quarantine right now?
I am single with a dollar sign.
Oh, nice.
And I dabbled in the apps, but I'm too paranoid about COVID to even meet up with someone, let alone, you know, do a little bit of that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know it's hard. I feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting until after the pandemic to really let my wings fly.
I feel like after the pandemic, everyone's going to go through it's going to be like Haight Ashbury in the 60s for a second. Like, it's going to be a lot of free love, a lot of, group meetings and attics and just not leaving for months.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's going to be a relapse is what it's going to be. I mean, after we've been cooped up with no sex, no freaking bars. I mean, it's just going to be mayhem.
Yeah. We're all going to be hitting what the recovery community calls a bottom. We're all going to be hitting a bottom.
Exactly. This is a rock bottom. From power top to rock bottom. Okay. Exactly. That's the title of my memoir. But I will say, though, now I'm oversharing. I'm bisexual, by the way, just for the record. If anyone is curious, I just have to say
we're going to record that.
Oh, please. I do have a crush on someone right now.
Oh, great.
I love having a crush.
It's been two days. This girl I've noticed and I've been intrigued by.
Yeah.
And we're in, you know, I see this girl often. And I just don't know if they like girls.
Yeah. How do you suss that out?
It's very difficult, I'll be honest. Because girls are naturally very friendly. Girls are natural. You know what I mean? I'm just like, well, she wears a G-Shock watch. What does that mean? I'm like, you know what I mean? But I'm like, why am I giving into stereotypes, society's, you know, rules? So that is something, though, that you're the first to hear about that.
I love having a crush, and I wish I had one right now. I'm not even meeting enough people to really, like, nurture a crush. And it's one of my favorite feelings ever is to meet someone and be like, it's like the emotional equivalent of rubbing your hands together before a meal. You're like, oh, this is gonna be good.
This is gonna take up some time.
Right. I'm like, right, rubbing your hands.
Like,
it's the feeling of like, it's almost, remember when you had a crush in class? Like high school, college, like you don't know if they're gonna show up. Like, you don't know if like, you know, they're looking at you like from afar. It's that feeling and it's really nice. Like it really gets so nice. Adrenaline going.
It's a fun distraction.
Listen, I'm also a masochist. So the fear of the unknown and the fear of the unrequited love, that's like what I thrive on. So I'm here for it. I'll keep you posted.
I have like a sense memory of being in class in middle school waiting for Jerry Tulo to show up to class. And then he shows up and like nothing really happens, you know, but just the fact of him showing up to class, me seeing him arrive feels like an event in itself. Like, okay, Jerry's
here. It's a red carpet, honey, paparazzi. Like it is a movement, if you will. I had the same, here's what I do when I like someone.
Yeah.
I do the fucking most. Like, Right now we have social media, so that's the devil. You know, I'm just like, it's 3 a.m. and somehow I know what her mom's favorite pudding is, you know?
You, like, accidentally like a picture from like 2014.
Right. It's like her high school prom photo and I'm commenting, who the fuck is that? but
who's also, the like, dude in the corsage?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, he went with peonies. Basic. No. But I will like through tactics and strategies, like find out things about them. Like, yeah. For example, this current girl that I have a crush on, I really mm-hmm. doubt she'll listen to this, but I saw in her Instagram that she had a photo of Topo Chico. Okay. Like the sparkling water, yeah. Which is kind of not everyone drinks Topo Chico, you know?
Sure.
So then I'm like, the next time I see her, I'm going to be drinking a Topo Chico.
Right.
So that I can spark a conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A really good conversation.
Like, you know, because listen, the bubbly yeah. radar, that's the, you know, the deal breaker for me.
Oh my gosh.
Like, so little things like that, like I'll just like find things in common and like
yeah.
manipulate really, really it's manipulation. But anyway, the point is, speaking of your you know, grade school crush, I had a big crush on this guy freshman year of high school named Kevin Wong. And he was like he was all about like rock and like hardcore, you know, the stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I started listening to Metallica.
Oh my gosh. You're forcing yourself to listen to it.
Forcing myself. My ears were bleeding and my mom was pissed. My mom was very pissed, but I would put Metallica lyrics like in my AIM buddy. Like,
Amazing. Yes, exactly. Pretend,
like, exit line. We'll have to never, never let. Like, I still remember that shit. I'm a fake bitch.
No. 100% real fake. I wore shirts that had like Jimmy Page on them because all the guys in my school liked classic rock. And people would literally be like, do you know who's on your shirt? Like, do you know who that is? And I'd be like, absolutely yeah, that's the risk. Not.
That's the risk you take if they ask questions.
If they ask one too many.
If they ask questions, you just say, it was an heirloom for my grandma. I don't want to talk about it. And then, you know what I mean? Then they move on. Then you move on.
She loved Metallica.
She loved Metallica.
Also wanted to say that when I was in high school, I had really bad insomnia. And so I would watch like YouTube videos all night because I couldn't sleep about random things. Like one time I watched a bunch of UFO encounter interviews. And like by the morning, I was like, don't trust the government. Don't trust anything they say. But one night I stayed up all night watching videos about Nirvana because I had never heard of them. And like I'd never heard of Kurt Cobain. So I was like, wait, what? Like this guy, this is crazy. He was a phenomenon. But I couldn't, like, the next morning I was like, wait, so this is my in. Like, I actually do know everything about this, like, cool, quote-unquote, right. band now. So I was like, I should try to get into their music because, like, I actually could back it up. Like, if someone was like, oh, you like Kurt Cobain? I'd be like, well, he was born here and then this happened.
But I couldn't get
into the music. Like, I tried so hard to like it. And I was like, come on, like, heart-shaped box, come on. I can like this. And I couldn't like it. I just couldn't physically like it. So I had to just like give up on the opportunity to be cool and go back to listening to probably Mandy Moore, which is who
Mandy
we're going to talk about today.
Oh my goodness.
JoJo.
Mandy Moore. Look, and JoJo. Listen, Mandy Moore, Nirvana, you know, I think
Same.
Mandy Moore maybe.
All of the greats.
For Nirvana when she was like 12. No, I just 15. Made that up.
Yeah.
At the mall, greats. Yeah.
All the greats. The Hall of Fame, you know, just no, truly Mandy Moore has had like 86 careers and you have to yes. respect her for that. Not the respect for that. Like,
someone posted this was years ago on their Facebook status, like, who is an actor that is bad at acting, but you like watching them anyway? And someone responded and they're like, Mandy Moore, because I truly think she enjoys acting so much, but she is so bad at it. Like, I know she loves the experience. I know she loves to sing. I know she loves to act.
Right.
But she happens to not be good at either of those things. But you want to support
her. Listen. I think, first of all, it's in her contract to sing in everything.
1,000%.
Oh.
That must be somewhere written in the fine print.
Even in This Is okay. Us.
In bad actor is a strong word. I can't say that about her because Mandy, if you're listening,
She's
I still
family.
Want to work together. Let's get a spinoff going. You know what I mean? Let's get a spinoff going. A Walk to Remember, WOK. get the Asian reboot. Listen, we'll be in touch.
I think she'd be interested.
I'm ready to pitch, honey. I'm ready to pitch. Switchfoot? Switchfoot? Yeah, get the guitar.
I dare you to move. We're going on the road, honey. I dare you to move.
It's so good. First of all, I can't believe like how religious the entire movie was and the soundtrack.
Wait. Let me just say.
I grew a Buddhist. Like, I just was so into it, though.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to say before we go down that road that Sherry offered us this gift when we invited her on the pod because we saw her do stand up and we have been obsessed with her ever since. But then we asked her what kind of topic she would want to do on the pod, and she came back to us with a firebomb, life-changing topic. We never could have thought of it ourselves, and that topic is the cinema masterpiece.
The family classic.
A Walk to Remember, W-A-L-K.
The Hallmark movie before there were Hallmark movies. It
exactly.
was really the hero's journey, A Walk to Remember. I was so excited by this topic that I, for real, slapped myself in the face to try to get ready. I shit in the middle of my floor just because I didn't know what else to do. And I
mean, sometimes you have to just, like, you know, smell your own poop to wake up.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Reality is so good. Reality is so good. And listen, A Walk to Remember is, once, like you said, masterpiece.
Yeah.
And yeah, my verbatim, I said, should we unpack A Walk to Remember? That's what I said. I mean, I think this is the moment. We have no choice in 2020, but to unpack A Walk to Remember. But yes, I mean, it's just so fucking good. And like, Nicholas Sparks, shout out to Nicholas Sparks.
Shout out.
He's a hit maker.
The Nicholas Sparks universe. There's the Marvel universe, the DC universe, and then there's the Nicholas Sparks universe.
Cinematic universe, the NSCU. Here's what I'm still mad about to this day. I knew about the ending before I fucking watched it.
That's my
friend,
yeah.
Sixth grade told me that she gets cancer and dies. And I'm like, first of all, spoiler alert to anyone who's listening, but if you have not seen it, just look at yourself in the mirror and then just
take
break the mirror because just shatter the mirror.
Just
just slam your head against the mirror.
Just sign up for 7 years of bad luck right away.
Exactly. but yeah, like I was in sixth grade and then we watched it like at my friend's house. Cause remember just hanging out and watching movies like in sixth grade?
Of course, watching them on repeat.
Before phone. And actually paying attention to the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I knew she had the cancer and dies before watching it. So I kind of knew. I mean, that was kind of a bummer. And I'm still bummed to this day. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sixth grade. Changed my life. Truly. There's so many little things about the movie that just, I promise you won't fall in love with me. I've used that.
That's a very important line. Me and my friends used to say that line as a joke. And like, we would really escalate it. Like, you fucking idiot. I told you not to fall in love with me. You piece of shit.
No, it's so good. And honestly, like they were fucking snubbed. They were snubbed.
Yeah, that's so true.
Shane West driving home from his dad's. Smiling at the memories at the same time crying. What the fuck?
Remember when he cries into his dad's arms and basically tears his dad's shirt off? I wish he had just ripped it off.
The wardrobe had to have like seven different shirts.
Let's talk about wardrobe for a second, though, because I think that Mandy Moore is dressed like a girl who was kidnapped as a child and lived in a shed for years and then came out of it and like.
It was an advertisement for the American Girl doll. I think.
Yes.
And
Samantha.
Hashtag ad.
It was very hashtag Samantha.
Ad. Okay. And the fact that he gives her a pink sweater, like, it's just.
Oh my God.
Like, it's almost like a backhanded. It's like a backhanded.
Right. It's like, hey, you wear this ugly ass sweater that everyone makes fun of you for. So why don't you try something new?
Like your sweater reeks of lentils. You need like a new one, Jamie, please. It smells like Bible and lentils. And
she travels with her Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe fully travels with it. Bible.
I mean, and it's I imagine so nice. The time of A Walk to Remember today would be an iPad. She would travel with an iPad.
She travels with her iPad Bible.
You know, Devin, you were going to ask something about what's your favorite something or what character?
I was going to say, when we were talking about Landon's dad, I was going to ask which character you, Sherry, identified with most in the movie. Because I identify most with Landon's dad in the sense that I try to buy people's affection, and that's one of my coping mechanisms. So,
right, because Landon's dad pays for Mandy Moore's home care to to build a relationship back with his son.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was tender. That was nice.
That was nice, right?
Yeah. Because he couldn't do anything, you know, physical nip-tuck, but he went with the moolah.
Yeah, he was like, I can't treat cancer.
let me throw money to solve this relationship with me and my son. To
and it worked.
This fucking gap. It worked. It really worked. But I, you know what? I'm kind of, I think Landon's mom. I really liked her.
Daryl Hannah.
Shout out to Splash. Where's the Watcher member Splash crossover?
Right. They live on the water. They live in Dawson's Creek. So they could easily have crossed over that.
Yeah. Easily.
You have to tell him that you're a mermaid before it gets too late.
Yeah, exactly. Landon Cod.
Her dad is Jessica Simpson's dad, Joe Simpson, like half like creepy manager, half pastor.
Right. It just it's all fascinating. I wanna do a fucking reboot so badly. But Daryl Hannah's character, like, first of all, the fact that he comes home from Jamie's house in the morning, like, is that allowed in high school? You just like sleep. I mean, how are you? They're not sneaking around. It's just this open public relationship. They know that they're, you know.
That was odd.
I mean, yeah, no, he shows up though. And he's like, yeah, I was up all night. Yeah. Sorry.
And then the list of ambitions. That's cute.
Oh my gosh.
We should do that. We should start doing that. Like just the list of ambitions.
Well, Jamie, Mandy Moore's character, her number one ambition was to witness a miracle.
Wait, the miracle was that he came into her life. He was the miracle.
And he like became a doctor instead of becoming a fuck up.
Right. Instead of, you know, heroin.
I was going to ask also as a follow up to when did you first see the film? How has your perspective on it changed this time watching? Because I thought watching this time, it's just a codependency nightmare. Mm. Like, it's like this woman's literally the story is this woman fixes this man. That's what it is.
Sure.
And I mean, it's like, is that the reason why I ended up in so many toxic relationships having seen this movie as a child?
I mean, technically, the themes don't 100% hold up.
Right.
I watching it now, I almost feel like, what the hell just happened? Like, this is too good to be true. It happened overnight. I'm like, did they delete some scenes in between? It's like, she sang Only Hope at the High School Musical, whatever, what the heck that was. And he was like, you know what I mean? And they kiss. And all of a sudden,
his tongue like hits the floor.
Right. And all of a sudden, he like punches his best friend in the face.
Right.
And just completely, the light switch flips like 180. And then like, you're scared to be with me. What? Where was the conversation?
Yes. Right. Another historic line. When he's like,
you're just scared to be with
you're
me.
Running away. Why would I do that? Because you're scared because you want to be with me too. Which is such like, I feel like I'm an emotional weight I put on guys who didn't want to date me. It was like, you're scared because you love me too. And they're like, no, that's not it.
No, actually, no.
And like, I can't ever get over that moment of like during that fight with the best friend dude. His backpack. Why is his backpack? Like the strap wasn't a strap. It was just the... It was a ripped like rope. These are the things.
It was a sack
that keep me up at night. It was a strap on, if you will.
I will.
If you will. It was a strap on backpack. No, but yeah, it just felt too overnight for me. Cause all of a sudden, you're scared because you want to be with me too. When the fuck was the conversation that you want to be with her, period? Like what?
When did you go from being truly ashamed to even be in the same room as her to being like completely in love with her and asking her father for permission? By the way, her father is played by this guy, Peter Coyote, who's related to our friend Beth because her husband is his cousin.
I didn't know that. That's so funny.
I know.
Oh my God. her husband is his cousin.
What's he doing right now?
He's in the Comey report now, by the way.
Oh, shit. Good for him. Good I know. For him.
Yeah. He made it. Shout out to Peter Coyote. Made it.
Hell yeah. So, no, it's really nice to see all these people still, like, you know, doing their thing.
We're so happy anymore. For all of them. I did look up Shane West on Instagram, and it's not great.
Sure. Sure. I mean, listen, it's okay. Do you think he's cute?
Yes. Oh, well, as a young adult, when I watched this movie and I was like 14, I was devastated by him. Like physically, I mean, like
obsessed
I was
with
destroyed
him.
By him. Could
the
not.
The most gorgeous man.
Pained by his beauty, truly.
But now.
Well, yeah.
And looking back, it's almost like a Norman Rockwell painting. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
In the sense that you're like, how young and like naive was I to think that this was.
Well, with the plaid, with the cute nose, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, it's paint by numbers for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you're like, oh, this is what I, well, like the hardcore music. Like, I was like, oh, that was a thing that, like, I was attracted to. It was a guy who just, what was one of my favorite lines is this girl, Belinda, who's the other woman in the movie, we should say. She says, like, I want to go back to the dance when him and his friends are hanging out. And he's like, hey. You know I don't dance. Like, that's like his hard line. It's very serious. And then, of course, Mandy Moore asks him on their first date if they want to dance. And he looks like someone's putting a gun to his head. He's like, I really don't know how to do this.
Right. And then, he doesn't know how to dance and she doesn't know how to kiss. But somehow, match made in heaven.
It happened.
Can we talk about the date for a second, just in general?
Please. I'm dying to.
The date is so crazy because, first of all, they go on their first date, they have their first kiss, and immediately he's like, I'm in love with you. And she's like, I told you not to fall in love with me, as we've covered. But
can I just say, he says, I am in love with you, and then he goes, now would be a good time for you to say something.
Right.
Which is my next first date. I'm going to be like, I love you.
Privilege.
Now would be a good time to say something.
But also this, speaking of maybe, privilege.
Maybe in real life, she forgot her line. And he's like, now would be the time. And like, oh, right. And they kept the riff.
She was young. She was just transitioning from being a pop star, as was apparent in the way she moved her mouth the entire movie. So maybe she did forget her line.
That is her move, though. And like, we love her for it. That is the endearing Mandy Moore hand on chest, bottom lip quiver.
Yes.
Like, moment that we know so well. It's just like.
Her direction was literally like, okay, Mandy. Just remember, you're a virgin, and action. Like, every scene, she has this wide-eyed, like affected, doe-eyed look of like, hello?
Hey.
She's also, I want to say that she behaves as, like, he treats her as though she's both an elderly woman and a child. Like, he's always like, are you cold? Is this restaurant okay? Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And she's drinking a juice box in one scene. I'm like, I don't think this relationship's appropriate.
I know. It's very,
she's not emotionally ready.
You nailed it. It's like, it's Precious Moments meets Bambi. And that's what, you know, she channeled for this role. And just back to the date for a second, because this has kept me up for 15 years of my life. She is not done with her food. And the waiter takes it. The guy who was the extra that day, the guy who played the waiter.
Yes.
It's dessert, right? This chocolate souffle situation. She's legit like, oh, thank you.
What? I didn't even notice.
Fucking bite. It kills me. She's mid-bite.
Oh my God.
And the waiter just takes the plate.
That is
psychotic. He was nervous. It was a big break. He was like, I gotta take the food.
They were filming in a small town. It wasn't professional Los Angeles extras who are like, every moment is like their scene maker.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I wonder where this was shot. Do we know?
That's a good question. I'm betting like Georgia or Atlanta.
Right. Something in West Virginia. Yeah, something in the outskirts of Pennsylvania, of Vermont, Maine.
Maine.
No, it feels kind of Maine.
It's very Maine.
It does feel Maine.
I wanted to say.
Boats? Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Just the boats are docked. That's it.
That's it. The boats are. Oh, it was filmed in North Carolina. That makes sense.
Oh.
Right, I picture North Carolina like that, even though I've never been there.
I knew it.
Right. I picture people like jumping off of what were the water towers. What was that? Like, oh, the opening scene.
So his friends are actually like white terrorists. Like
they're domestic terrorists. It's domestic terrorists and then one black friend that's so stereotyped.
It's actually so insane how terribly and like stereotypical this black character is. They literally alternate between him, and they're all like, you're crazy, man. Like, he is between that. And then he becomes like the character, like the caricature of like the black soulful friend later. Yes. When Jamie is dying.
The wise guru type.
Right. Right.
They also
the handshake.
The handshake. They basically he's like, yeah, Jamie's the most amazing like person I've ever met. And I'm so sad she's dying. I've got you, man. Fist bump. Like wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Like, and then fake, like mimic a joint pass. And I was like, wait, is this a good time to do your secret handshake? Like,
right. I mean, this, the appropriate moment for a joint gesture. This will be the time for the dad hug, the ripping off the shirt,
yes,
you know,
like, ripping off the shirt. You're crying so hard.
Yeah. And the looking off in the distance happened many times.
Oh my gosh. That's, you know, Shane really perfected that. And I do have a hunch that the director or one of the producers on set was like, Shane, I don't know. I mean, we might not get an Oscar nomination, but Golden Globes? Like, I don't know. I feel like this might be our year.
It's got your name on it, Shane. It's got your name on it.
Definitely People's Choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to get that surfboard.
I mean, the surfboard is yours. It's a fucking masterpiece. I'm just so obsessed with it.
So back to the date, speaking of the soundtrack, because
this
is where a Mandy Moore song comes in. But two things. One, when he takes her to the state line and is like, you're standing in two states at once, I just thought the bar for men is so fucking low. Then he gives her a temporary tattoo and she exposes one shoulder.
And he like gulps.
And I was like, okay, the bar for teen boy horniness is so low.
Then, that was my least favorite part of the movie is when they kiss. He like kisses her hard and she's like, whoa. And he's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, okay, are you going to break her? Does she have like, you know, hollow bones?
Oh, wait, is this the part where after he says he loves her and don't fall in love with me, whatever, and they kiss for the first time, right?
Yeah. It's one of the first times.
So right after she says, I might not be good at it. And he says, that's not possible, and goes for it.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
It is definitely possible. Speaking from
very
experience.
Possible. Extremely possible. First and foremost, he just wanted to kiss her so badly. He just had like the bluest balls and was like, no, you got this, honey. You got this. I believe in you.
What were your, both of Devin and Sherry, what were your first kiss experiences like? I'm curious.
I don't think I knew what I was doing. I was a late bloomer, senior year.
You were 26.
Year.
Okay.
Yesterday at Ralph's. I was a senior in high school. It was my my first boyfriend, Yusuf, and he asked me. So I didn't dance. Speaking of freaking Landon Carter, who didn't dance, this whole thing, like the whole school knew Sherry doesn't dance.
Dancing was illegal in your town.
Oh, it was Footloose.
I was the Kevin Bacon of the San Gabriel Valley, and that's just like us.
That's
a type
just your origin.
I can't shake. Right. I should put that in my bio.
The Kevin Bacon of the San Gabriel Valley, okay?
I didn't dance. So it was this whole thing of like, we were dating, me and Yusuf. And prom was coming up in May, whatever it was. And everyone just knew that like, you know, Sherry doesn't dance. And like, it was this whole circle because he was in sports. He like played, he was a football player. And
name
I was-
drop, continue.
No, I was on pep. I was technically a cheerleader. So the way we even met is because you're paired up, which was very misogynistic. You're paired up a girl on the pep squad with a football player. And every Friday you have to bake them something.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
For the game.
Yeah. This is, I know this only from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how we met because I was his football sister, whatever the hell we used to call it. So it
football
was
sister.
indirectly incest. The point is, so I'm, the prom's coming up and everyone knows I don't want to go because I was so self-conscious about dancing back then. Like I just couldn't 5, 6, 7, 8 on the fly. And so we didn't, on prom night, we didn't go to prom. We ended up hanging out and just going to dinner and being cute and going to these photo booth, Wonderland. And he asked me to be his girlfriend. So then we kissed. So then we kissed for the first time. We'd never kissed before this, which is interesting, right? So we kissed for the first time, and it was like he asked me to be his girlfriend, and then we real quick. And then later on, when I dropped him off, because I drove and he didn't, and we like made out in the car, but I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like there was just too much tongue. I was so embarrassed. So I was like, what the hell am I doing? It's just, I mean, it's whack-a-mole. You know what I mean? It's just like the tongue game. It is just like a fucking frog
I'm eating you.
it's too much. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. What about y'all?
But you go first.
My first kiss was actually with a female friend on a dare in middle school in a dark room. But it was just 2 seconds. Like,
I love that for you.
Like kiss and then stop. And then
kiss.
A little kiss. Right. That's what the boy said. He said, I dare you to do a little kiss. And I said, okay.
I was 13, so I was like really aspiring to be a slut from a young age. Mm-hmm. And hooked up with Jack Pickering, and he was like an open mouth, just like keep your mouth open and just like reach for tonsils kisser. And so I reciprocated because I never made out with anyone before, and I was like, okay, I don't like this, but this is what you do. Okay, this is what you do. And then he told everyone on a bar mitzvah bus, like, Carolina is a bad kisser, she uses too much tongue. And I was like, I was in response to what you were doing. But
you were just yes-anding.
And it's so funny though, because I don't know if you guys experienced this, but still to this day, like the last, I don't know, 10 years, once in a while you kiss someone and it's not that they're a bad kisser, but you guys just aren't meeting.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, I don't think this is necessarily like bad. It's just like we have not figured out any sort of rhythm, or like, I don't know what you're trying to do. And like, I'm trying to catch something with you, but it's just not.
Oh my goodness.
It's sort of like when you're putting in an iPhone cord and you're like, it's not that way. Like that's.
This accessory is not supported by Apple. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's that feeling.
Do you trust this computer? No.
Absolutely not.
I mean, that's so specific, and you it's on point. Yeah, that's so true. Because sometimes it's just like you're going on 2 and 4, they're going on 1 and 3.
Yes. I mean? It's like when you're grinding with guys at like a dance or something, and your like ass was like fully in their crotch, and then you were trying to like catch the sway rhythm, but like even that sometimes took a second to like let's reboot.
That's what.
Totally.
Oh my goodness. That's why dancing is so like stressful.
Yeah.
Dancing with someone else is so stressful for that reason.
Yeah.
We like, understand it's Landon. It's stressful.
Cause we once, hear you. Like one false move, like once something is off, like everything's off and everyone's just like discombobulated.
I wish Landon on their first date, because I don't know if you noticed, but on Landon and Jamie's first date, they're the only other person on a dance floor is like an elderly couple near death.
Yes.
And so it's just this elderly couple and then Landon and Jamie. And it'd be so funny if Landon was like, I don't really know how to dance, but just takes Jamie's hips and tries to grind with her.
Just tries really hard to
He's
grind.
He's like, okay, let's try to catch a rhythm. I'm not great at this. I don't dance.
He bends her over.
Yeah.
Do like the savage TikTok dance.
What if that's what he asked his mom? Because remember he asked his mom to like teach him how to dance? He's like, mom, okay. So it's twerk on savage and then cross arms on ruthless.
They're doing the walk dance on the floor in like a bunch of water in the lake.
And so that's where the mermaid
the
comes
top,
out.
Make it drop.
She does have a wop. She's a mermaid.
Oh, right. Daryl Hannah has the original wop. Original wop.
Yeah, she does.
Daryl Hannah. Oh my goodness, that's so funny. Yeah, I. What was the second date? Was the second date the telescope? Let's talk about the telescope.
Oh my gosh!
Situation.
So this is where. No, sorry, you go first, Sherry.
No, I always say. So I've said this in my life. Ergo, a second blanket. I've said that many times.
Oh my gosh.
Is that what he says? Ergo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he goes, she goes, are you trying to seduce me?
And he
goes,
me?
Why? Like, are you seducible?
Are you seducible?
And she's like, no.
No. He's like, that's what I figured. Or like, that's what I thought or something. And he's like, ergo, a second blanket.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Sherry Cola. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much. I want true romance. And we're back with True Romance. Okay, so this is another thing, and it's an alternate plot for A Walk to Remember that the writer ended up not going down, and that's that I believe Mandy Moore, if you follow the breadcrumbs she leaves in her character work, may have been a serial killer in another draft. Very elusive, very spooky. She's like, yes. You don't care what people think about you? She's like, no. Mm-hmm. People make fun of her. Like, she's the bullied kid who could come back, a la Carrie. And the way his friends make fun of her, they laugh so hard. They're like, nice sweater. And then when she walks away, they're like, oh, we got her. Like,
I know.
Burn to you.
I can easily see her being like a DOS leader.
A thousand percent.
Is she Allison Mack? She's Allison Mack.
She could be.
Of the NSCU.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's the Allison Mack.
Of the Neil Sparks universe. Yes.
So why I bring it up is because he sees her in the 48 hours in which this film takes place. He's driving around and he sees Jamie walking into a cemetery. And he's like, what the heck? And so he follows her in there and she likes looking at the stars with her telescope and, holding her Bible, of course.
Right.
And then he buys her a star. But there's a lot of like paperwork involved in that scene. There's like, it's not totally romantic because he's like, okay, see, I downloaded this from the internet and that is your star right up there.
Initial here, a sign here, then we'll FedEx it back to the offices.
Like, it was too quick of a process. In real life, you would think you'd have to wait 2 to 3 weeks for the star to process.
Right? He's like, I'm getting through some red tape, but I swear it's going to be yours.
This is the temporary license before the physical one shows up, you know?
Listen.
This is like your permit.
I mean, I had a boyfriend once like adopt a wild wolf for me. And like,
that is romantic.
At first, it was romantic, but then I was like, so wait, so it's actually nothing though. What do I actually have? Like, I don't like see this wolf. I don't get any interaction with this wolf. I just know that there's a wolf out there that like doesn't think I'm its mom, probably, but like some organization said, this just doesn't feel like much.
That's how I feel when people gift people, like they donate something in your name.
Yeah.
what does that do for me?
That's what I got for Carolina's birthday. Awkward.
I do that only because I hate buying gifts for people now, and so I'm just like, okay, I donated like to a charity for you.
$2 to a charity.
$2
just hold my hand. Hold my hand on the ways of being a good Samaritan.
Exactly. I got to do something I was already going to do, but now it has your name on it. Congrats. Right. And you can't write it off in your taxes, but I can.
You know, there's also an alternate ending where Jamie Sullivan was a ghost the entire time.
1,000%.
Totally.
And I can see that as an argument with the studio. Like, we really think we're going to get money regardless with this ghost plot.
Sixth Sense kind of thing. Yeah.
Nicholas Sparks fragile. Was like, in the Nicholas Sparks universe, the girls die.
She's fragile. She's pale. It had all the ingredients.
I remember when I first watched the movie when I was 14, I did not know what was going to happen in the end. And my sister walked into the room and I was like, why does Mandy Moore look like shit in this movie? And she was like, keep watching. Like, I was like, wow, makeup really like took a break in this scene. Like, she could have used some cover up below her eyes.
Yeah.
But it's because she was dying.
Yeah. See,
they're playing the seeds.
I'm still so mad that I didn't know. But it was cute though. They were just like holding hands, and then she just felt sick, and then all of a sudden, that was actually a really good performance though. On both.
Oh,
of them.
Agreed.
She was like, "I'm sick," he was like, "Is it COVID?" That's what he said. That was the first take. Is it COVID?
Does your throat hurt?
From the future.
Can you smell?
Jinx.
I've had a version of that date, which was me and a previous boyfriend were in New Orleans, and we went out for like a crazy like New Orleans like gumbo meal. Great. And we were going to go on a ghost tour afterwards. And I was really excited for this ghost tour. And we're walking back to go meet everyone for the ghost tour. And all of a sudden I'm like, it's not that I need to shit. It's that I'm going to actively shit now on this street. So I do those things where he's walking really quickly and I'm just following him. And finally I'm like, can we just sit on the stoop? We're dating. It's early in the dating process so that like I don't want to talk to him about it yet. And just have like full body chills. And he's like, do you think – he's trying to go be as gentle as possible. Goodness. And he's like, do you think you maybe need to use the toilet?
No. But Don't say that.
I really wish that had been an alternate line in this scene.
The toilet. She's
like, Landon, I'm sick. And he's like, do you think you maybe need to use the bathroom?
You need to go poo-poo? Go potty?
Was it the spicy ramen? No, was it the Takis? The Takis Fuego? You ate the whole bag of Takis Fuego.
Do you need first of all,
who the fuck says toilet? Like, who says I'm gonna use the toilet? You say bathroom. Who the hell is saying toilet?
That is sociopathic.
You say girl's room.
You say WC.
Yeah, WC. You say wash closet in full form. Like, wait, you said you were
wash closet? It was in New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, I'd been there a few times, and I never done the cemetery tours, but it's like all the hype in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's a huge business. I really wanted to go on one, ghost hunting, but instead we had to go back to his apartment, so I made him like sit outside while I took a shit.
Mm-hmm. So anything happened after that? Anything? Mm-hmm. Sparks? Nicholas Sparks?
Nicholas Sparks refused to include that in his script. But I will agree... Sherry, Dev and I were talking about this because we were texting about it last night, and I was like, A Walk to Remember is so insane. And she was like, yeah, but I'm crying.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed.
Involuntary crying.
1,000%. No bad feelings here. No bad feelings at all. It is a brilliant, just cult classic. But here are my thoughts. You know?
Yeah.
I also wonder, first of all, Shane West, Landon Carter, is the same as me in that he will just change his entire life and interests and hobbies for the person he loves.
Yes, strong relate. Great point.
All of a sudden, just Bible verses. All of a sudden, you know what I mean? And here's my thing. So I'm like, is that all they talk about? Because they talk about her goals in life and then like the bucket list. And then what else? Because like even with them, right before she drops the bomb about the cancer, they're walking on the street holding hands. What's the conversations like?
Right.
You know,
he's trying to like teach her how to speak because all she does is read books and she's a child. When they're at the lunch table, she's reading To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm like, okay, we're still there. Like, you're actually like 17. And she's sipping on her juice box. And he literally says, Jamie, you got to work with me here. Like, which is exactly what my SAT tutor said to me. Like, Carolina, come on. Oh, you can't show up to our sessions hungover.
I picture their conversations. Her being like, is it true that when dogs die, you never see them again? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, why? Because they're not alive anymore. Why? Because they, every animal has a lifespan. Oh, and why? Because, like, that's how I picture.
It's almost like a gypsy rose.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Great comparison.
Wow.
Great comparison.
They even wear the same sweater, Gypsy and Jamie, I think.
We also have a Gypsy Rose moment when her Joe Simpson, the dad, sees Jamie and Landon kiss and he like fully strokes out. And she's like, Daddy, I'm a woman. Look at me. Yeah. I'm not a child.
You're being unfair to him. I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, he was like
Vietnamese.
He's so mean. He's basically like, tell him you're dying right now.
Yeah. And at that point, see, I knew the ending. So when you were watching that, not knowing the ending, what did you think was up?
That she had killed someone.
Sure.
She was that she's a ghoul. Killer.
She's a ghost.
Oh my God. Wait. Okay. Speaking of ghoul, in the performance that Only Hope is sung and she's suddenly really hot because she has makeup on and like moved her bang, her actual like baby style bangs to the side.
Baby style. She baby style bangs.
She was showing forehead, which was very risque for her.
Yes.
And ankle. And she I don't know if you, I hadn't watched the scene in literally years, but I was very excited because I actually know every line to, every lyric to Only Hope.
Oh, for sure.
So she walks on stage and she literally has a cloak. You don't see her face and she looks like a gowl. Like, I was like, wait, what is going on? Like, she walks on stage as if she's like a Dementor from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And like, you don't see anything. And I was like, wait, what is, what play what? Is this?
Yeah.
Is this the Goblet of Fire?
Is the Goblet of Fire like La La Land crossover? I don't even know what it, what was that about? It was like, hey, sweet doll face. Like, it's one of those.
Oh my gosh.
The doll worst. Face.
And when they kiss, when they kiss, the school literally falls apart. Like, everyone's yeah. like, in the audience.
And I'm sorry, it ends there?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. She wrote yeah. the play, the by play, the way.
The play ends there. Like, yeah. was this supposed to end there or did they just shut down production?
Well, Jamie, they introduce it that, like, they're like, this play is about the Prohibition era. And this guy who is like a rabble rouser in the Prohibition era, and it's written and directed by Jamie. I was like, wait, what? She wrote Boardwalk Empire and she's like a Christian gospel singer? What?
She's like the Prohibition, the good old days.
Yeah. She's so involved in the extracurricular. She's almost like the most popular, unpopular girl.
Yeah, true.
In school.
Well, she's also working part-time to colonize their sister school, they call it, but it's just like where all the people of color are.
Oh, yeah.
Like right, her and right. Landon are like tutors. I'm like, who asked Landon yes. to be a tutor? How are we supposed to believe that he like knows what a triangle is?
Yeah.
Right, with the basketball metaphor.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It's so nuts.
And oh my goodness, I totally forgot about that part because you're right. There's the bus.
Yeah. That's how the bus she sits in with her little Bible in her lap. And then to Landon's ex, Belinda, gets back at her by taking some pictures she took at the play, pasting Mandy Moore's face on a lingerie model and plastering them over the school. Now, revenge porn is like every girl's biggest nightmare. This, however, is an egregious use of Photoshop. Like, I can't believe they even included a Photoshop insert because it's literally like a black and white picture yeah. on a Victoria's Secret model.
It's a ransom note is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a ransom note.
And Mandy Moore, Jamie literally falls. Like, she's like shivering, like teeth chattering trauma. And it's the first time we hear Landon call her baby. And he's like, baby, 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 it's okay.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm like, we're there already?
There must have been a cut scene.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, that's a really good point. I think you're right.
Baby, it's right after, the morning after the musical. There's the Photoshop hate crime.
And right.
And then there's...
These friends are terrible people. Yes.
What the fuck?
We literally don't even talk about how they're like, they put a kid in the hospital for what it looks like a year. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's in a coma. To a rehab facility. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Is he learning how to tie his shoes again? Like,
I want to see his, it's a medical bill to remember. That's what it should be called. The amount of time this kid was like having his, you know, freaking remember the Titans moment.
Yeah.
In the hospital.
It's so just nuts.
Yeah, no, the baby. Yeah, that's my like biggest takeaway storyline-wise is the overnight success of this relationship.
My dream.
Right. That's the only bone to pick I have with Nicholas Sparks, who we'll be inviting as a guest in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, he'll be joining us shortly.
Our intro for him is a little long.
We actually don't know. I don't know who directed or wrote it, to be honest with you. Do you know?
I tried to remember while watching, and then it fled from my mind.
Yeah. Maybe Olivia can sneak that in her ear, because I'm curious what they've done since, you know? Like, if it makes sense. It's just, like, it's something, like, real. I don't know what it could be, like, Shape of Water or something like
La La Land.
Which is, you know, the Shape of Water is once again back to Splash.
Yeah,
back
right. to
it's all mermaid full love stories.
Circle.
WAP. Another WAP.
Full fucking WAP. Circle.
Another this infamous WAP.
Universe touches Gypsy Rose. It touches Shape of Water. It touches Footloose. Adam, it touches
Footloose.
It touches everything. It's got something for everyone in this franchise.
This is so true because Jamie's dad is the same dad who makes dancing illegal in this small town.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
wait,
he wants
he's
to.
In Footloose?
No, but I'm just saying it's the same. Yeah, it's the same character.
Right. It is the same character. You're right. Okay, wait. Adam Shankman was the director.
Okay.
Nicholas Sparks wrote it with Karen Jansen. Jansen. Oh, and what Jansen. What have they done?
Let me look.
I wonder what Adam Shankman has done since, because I need to work with
him. We would love a general, yeah.
Yeah,
I would love a general.
We would love a one-on-one.
Can I have a sit down with
Hairspray.
Adam Shankman?
Whoa.
Oh.
Okay, so Adam Shankman directed Hairspray. Classic men getting ahead no matter what.
Which makes sense to me because to me, in my eyes, in my heart, A Walk to Remember is a musical.
Okay, 1,000%.
It's a fucking
the
musical.
Amount of, like, and I'll say there's good song choices in it, and there's, I think, Beck, like, there's a Beck song in it, and then there's actually
Dancing
horrifying.
In the Moonlight? Dancing in the Moonlight.
Dancing in the Moonlight's in it.
I wrote down in my notes, in all caps, that Dare You to Move song, involuntary crying from this moment forward.
Yes. No. 100%. Like, literally, that scene gets me every fucking time. Only Hope performance also made me cry for some reason. I don't know what it is.
When she says, like, I'm afraid, like, I'm not being with you. And he says, and the baby is forced, but he's like, oh, baby, that will never happen. And whether I wanted to or not, it was terrible, but, like, tears fell from my face.
I didn't want to at all. Yeah. I was going about my day. I was doing things, and I'm just having these tears because of that.
Karen Jansen, screenwriter, to just bring more WAP into this universe, she also wrote Dolphin Tale and Dolphin Tale 2.
Love Dolphin Tale.
She is in the WAP of fame. Hollywood WAP of fame.
A WAP to remember.
Oh, there you go.
That's the title of the episode. Now we have a title of the episode.
Yo, that's the one. How did we barely get there? Like,
it took us, we were dancing around it. We were dancing in the moonlight around it.
We got from a walk, W-O-K, to remember, to a WAP, a W-A-P, to remember.
That is the most epic thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. And do I hear merch?
Yes.
Oh my God. Visors that say a WAP to remember.
Face shields
Fanny
that say
packs.
A WAP to remember.
Fanny packs,
right? So they can be on my front upper pussy area.
Your
yes.
fop.
Oh my fupa is so fupa. Loud in quarantine. It's insane. Like, it's unfortunate.
It's
I'm,
talking.
I'm a kangaroo. Okay. But yeah, I want to. We're freaking. I feel like there's still so much more to cover, but it's like it's endless. It's a bottomless.
It's a bottomless treasure chest. We are so grateful that you came on the pod to discuss this with us.
It's a conversation that's overdue. It's a conversation that's overdue.
What were your thoughts on the wedding that was clearly a ploy for them to be able to have sex before
of
she
course.
Dies?
He's put in time. He's put in work.
I mean, he's put in a lot of
and
work.
It's not a real commitment. No offense.
Right. Here's what I'm wondering. What's Landon's afterlife, like, so he is never gonna be with anyone ever again.
I thought the exact same thing.
He's haunted.
She is now a succubus. what is a succubus again? A demon that sleeps with, wait, I don't even know, a ghost that sleeps with humans. I don't know.
I'll have to Google that.
I was watching Lovecraft, and yeah, they have some. That's another podcast. Anyway,
okay.
So, but that's what I'm saying is. He just forever hers. You know what I mean? Or is he ever going to move on? I wonder.
It's going to be hard to beat her. I'll say that. It's going to be hard to beat their love story. If this is what he's attracted to, like, he's going to have an age range that he's not going to be able to really date out of, you know?
And that's going to lead to some possible prison time.
Yeah. Right.
Landon goes to prison.
They'll explore that in the sequel. Can you imagine if there was a sequel right now? So they say, oh, you know what they should do in quarantine? Because remember Mandy Moore went live and sang Only Hope in quarantine? Do you remember this?
I don't, but I don't disbelieve it.
It's true. And the Carolina was frozen for a second.
I was I'm nodding like I wasn't. I'm like, where are we at?
But what if they should do one of those table reads? That's really popular
right
now.
That's such a good idea.
They did post a picture together. I saw on
for her
on
walk of fame,
Shane's Instagram. Yeah,
they always do like it's such a cult classic that they like literally always post like a TBT or like anniversary, like, oh, 20 years since whatever, whatever. So that's really cute that they're Mandy Moore still. She's successful right now too. I'm so happy for her. Like she's on a hit show. Like, truly. Tangled? What's that about Tangled? No one talked about Tangled.
Tangled has a great soundtrack too. I'm weirdly obsessed with her because she's one of those people who's like always acting, but seems really nice. And she was in this torturous relationship with Ryan Adams.
Yeah.
I read the New York Times expose on Ryan Adams twice because I was so horrified by it. But I was also like, it's so cool that we're this far into the Me Too movement that like emotional abuse is having its reckoning. Like, I feel like that behavior, like so many women I know have put up with in terms of someone like undermining their talent.
Yes.
Not letting them really like fully work. And so that was really cool. And I totally respected her for what she went through.
Yeah.
With that. And now she's actually married to the choir star from my high school. Like this guy, Taylor Goldsmith. And when I tell you that he was the hottest guy in my high school, I mean, the hottest. And now he's in this band Dawes that has like a pretty big following. And
wait, what's the band called?
It's called Dawes, D-A-W-E-S.
Nexium? What the hell's going on?
It's called Dawes Master Slave. So basically, the band is about how you count calories and text when you're ready in the morning.
Right. Allison Mack did have a band in Dawes, I think. She had like the musical group in Nexium. She did.
Okay, that's another podcast, by the way, Nexium. Yes. We have to unpack the vow. What are we waiting for? Oh, my goodness.
I know.
A pyramid scheme sex cult. Essentially, and Hungry Fucky Beasties. Have y'all seen the latest episode?
Yes, of course.
So
that's
insane.
The band that we're gonna start. That's the band that we're gonna start. Hungry Fucky Beasties.
I'll play harmonica.
I'll just hum. I'm so happy for Mandy Moore. Truly, you're right, because she's been through a lot, and like,
yeah,
it's not easy to be a singer at the age of like 14 and like
drop out of school. Yeah,
right, and not go downhill, if you will.
And be normal.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and just from like when we were young, I'm pretty sure we're all the same age. Like Candy, her first single, Candy.
Big deal.
Freaking singing that, still listening to that. And then she was also in Princess Diaries.
Oh, one of my favorite movies. I watched the DVD all the time.
Favorite movie, one of my favorites of all time. And Sandra Oh was also in that. So another
yes, she was, and it was her and Julie Andrews comedy duo.
The comedic brilliance,
guys.
Brilliance.
What about Saved? Have you seen?
Oh yeah, Saved.
I have not seen it.
I don't love that movie.
I haven't seen it since it came out, but she played the popular Christian girl, right?
Yes, this is correct.
But is it not the exact same premise as Hilary Duff's Raise Your Voice?
The funniest part about Raise Your Voice is that Hilary Duff truly can't sing. Like, there's no singing power.
Wait, hold on. Okay, there's another episode about Hilary Duff somewhere. I have to come back.
Sherry, you are invited on the pod whenever you have another inspired idea like you had with A Wop to Remember.
There's so much to unpack.
You are our guru, truly.
You are a guru, and we're so grateful. Thank you so much for joining us on the pod.
Yes, no, I got you, boo. Anytime you want me here, I'll just drop a pin. I'm on my way.
Great.
Seriously. Thank you for willing to unpack something that's been on my chest for so many years. I have no one to talk to about this.
You're going to be walking on air.
Yeah, you are. You have been unburdened.
No, but you realize that. So I don't have a podcast, but it's obviously something I want to do, but I've just never done it.
You must.
Ideas, the idea list, the number one is a podcast called A Podcast to Remember.
Like, yes.
Literally
smart.
Only about A Walk to Remember all the time. Like that's we'll be in touch. So you'll be on my podcast if I start that podcast.
If you Perfect. Start that, we would be truly yes. honored. Please. And we will make Please. A star in your name in exchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love you so much. And technically, if I start that podcast, we will be in two places at once.
Oh my God. And then I'll literally scream and jump into your arms.
Scream and jump into your arms, and I will be revealing a shoulder for a Temptat after that.
Yes, the Temptat. The butterfly. The fact that she chose a butterfly. Very, very symbolic, by the way, because this bitch is blooming. This bitch is transforming from cocoon to the metamorphosis.
And
metamorphosis.
No
Metamorphosis, Hilary Duff album.
Exactly. Full circle again. Coming clean again. Coming clean again. Okay. Listen, I just want to say also one final thing. When Mandy says to Landon on the date that she says, how can you have moments like this and not believe in God? That's how I feel right now on this Zoom with you guys.
I have to also just do a plug for Sherry Cola, because why Devin and I invited her on the pod is Devin and I accidentally went to a huge comedy show. We thought it was going to be a small thing. Devin and I infamously cry when we're in too big of crowds because we get overwhelmed and stressed out. We go to the Ronnie Chang show for his Netflix taping. One of the cooler
shout out to
things
Ronnie.
That we've well, shout out to Ronnie. One of the cooler things we've gotten to do, and it was a total like accident. We see his opener, this woman named Sherry Cola. What an amazing name. She gives us 10 minutes of pure joy. Devin
ribs
and I
hurting, ribs hurting,
are dying.
Almost peeing myself.
And then
laughing
just
so
as
hard.
Quickly as she appeared, she disappears. And Devin and I are left with what is called
a memory. A set to remember.
And we're just very grateful. So if you haven't checked her out, Sherry, is there anything you'd like to promote?
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. That means a lot. Like truly, I just want to make you laugh. And that's my only goal in life. So Carolina, Devin, just endless respect.
Likewise.
I'm so happy y'all caught that, because truly shout out to Ronnie Chang. Like that literally is still to this day the biggest audience I've performed for. And the fact that he just like gave me that platform and thought of me to open for his Netflix taping. I mean, come on. Adore him. Good Trouble is the show that I'm on.
Amazing.
We're shooting season 3 right now. We're finishing up, and season 1 and 2 is on Hulu. So peep it. You'll love it. I play a lesbian, first generation Chinese American, and it just explores a bunch of things related to true romance.
Ooh.
And I eventually also start doing stand up in the show. So it's super
amazing.
Fun. And basically something I never saw on TV when I was growing up. So just, you know, check it out.
Great.
And you'll love it. You'll love it. Yeah. Thank you so much. True Romance. Devin, Carolina.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Love you.
Bye. So to wrap up, I just want to say that a WAP to Remember merchandise is going to be available at some point, and I can't wait to see what kind of color scheme we end up going with. I just want to thank Sherry Cola for inspiring such iconic merchandise for us.
We are going to deck her head to toe in the merch.
It's going to be face mask, eye mask, ear mask, underwear.
All. Oh, yeah. I would get a WAP to Remember underwear.
I'm 6 years old. Underwear.
I wish you guys could have seen right when we signed on to the Zoom with Sherry. She had Only Hope playing in the background. By the way, this is our first time meeting her.
And she lit a lighter and was swaying.
She had Only Hope playing in the background, holding a lighter, swaying back and forth. And then she said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm here for it. So if you're not obsessed with her, then I don't know what to say to you.
Then it just, we can't relate. It's like when people are on a fitness journey, it's just like, okay, so we can't relate.
At this point, it's me, Devin, Sherry versus the world.
Yep.
Thank you so much for tuning to True Romance. We love our listeners more than we like most people.
Yeah, and I also want to say, if you want to write in for some advice from two crazy gals, wild and crazy gals, please email trueromancepod@gmail.com. POD@gmail.com. trueromancepod@gmail.
TRUEROMANCEPOD@gmail.com. Devin, another amazing day with you. I really miss seeing you in person, but dang, you look good over Zoom.
I just want to say I pray to be only yours.
I have faith in you, just like Jamie had faith in Landon, and you will pursue your dreams and become a doctor someday. She just threw a cross up at me. All right. I love you, Devin.
Love you. Bye.